Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Rivalry Radio. I'm your host, Jay File, where every rivalry matters, but none more than one, and that is the rivalry between the Michigan Wolverines and the Michigan State Spartans. We're going to talk Michigan State football today. We're going to talk Michigan football today, of course. Obviously, Big Ten Media Days was outstanding. It was great to hear the coaches get us geared up for football season. Can't wait to talk football with Tyler Hayward. He will be on momentarily, but I will go over a couple topics early on. Now, I'm excited for numerous reasons. Number one, I think that in the state of Michigan, with Michigan State, expected to have a very good season. It's a fun time for Sparty Nation. I think Michigan, with the hype as usual, there's always a high amount of hype behind their program, returning Shea Patterson and a wealth of offensive weapons. There is reason to be optimistic. There's no doubt about that. And now it's about getting over the top for Michigan football, and that is getting to Indy, winning the Big Ten Conference. And obviously it's a conversation. It's a conversation we have to have. They've been close. They haven't been able to seal the deal. A couple years really were right there. You know, obviously in 16 and then in last year, 18, they come down to that last game against Ohio State. And you got to get the job done, and they do not. So a whole lot to talk about, cover today on that. And I really think that when you think of Michigan, it's one of those programs that you're not going to not have a conversation about the University of Michigan football program. It is what it is. It's a hype machine. It's always going to be something that where the expectations are super high. And we're going to try to validate those expectations today. Are they too much? I mean, are they too high to put them at the top of the Big Ten Conference? A lot will have to happen for them to prove that. I do think the defense will fall off a little bit when you lose guys like Winovich, Gary, David Long. You know, you're going to struggle a little bit. You're going to struggle at times. And I think people need to realize that with Michigan football, as great as that defense has been, you know, you lose guys like that, you're going to, you know, fall a little bit. You know, Devin Bush was unbelievable. Defensive player of the year, great player, did a lot for that program for a few years. Sideline to sideline, one of the fastest linebackers they've had, if not the fastest. And when you lose that guy, you're going to have little areas where you struggle. It's just how it is. And you got to make up for that with what? Great offensive play. And they do bring in Josh Gattis. You bring in Josh Gattis, then obviously the flaws that you may have with the players you lose on defense, then possibly you're a better football team still. So, and that's what everybody's saying, that they're feeling that about Michigan football. I'm not sure yet. I mean, there's a lot of things that need to happen. Tyler's on with me now. Tyler, before we get into Michigan State, obviously a lot of reason for optimism on their end as well. Let's talk Michigan, though. I mean, obviously, the hype machine continues to roll. I think we expected this, as always. You know, a lot of teams having, you know, basically a lot of guys coming back, but Michigan has a lot on offense. Talk about Michigan and why maybe these you know, expectations are not too high.
Well, I think the first reason is, Shea Patterson, ultimately. I mean, you and I have talked, and we've talked about the depth at quarterback for U of M a little bit this morning, you know, as we were just horsing around. And I think that this offense, the type of offense that we're looking at Michigan potentially running this season, I think it fits Shea Patterson's style a lot more than the typical pro-style Harbaugh or D'Antonio or whatever type of pro that you're thinking of. I think it fits his style a lot better than those, and I think ultimately I feel weird saying this because I dogged on Denard Robinson for this. I dogged on Devin Gardner for this. I think he's a dark horse Heisman candidate with the type of offense that they're running and the weapons that are surrounding him, and despite the fact it is a spread, it is still you still have some very good tight end options that are available, and even some of those guys can get maybe into the slot a little bit. I mean, there are obviously some question marks, so I think running back might be a little bit of one. And So I think it's going to hinge on Patterson more, and part of that's the reason why I think he is a dark horse Heisman candidate. I think that that's the biggest reason for optimism regarding Michigan. Their defense is probably going to take a step back. I think the line might be a little bit better, a little more consistent, even without Winovich and Gary. But I think that everything else, there are some question marks, and ultimately, the less defense is on the field, the more you're going to throw the ball. The more you throw the ball, the better your stats look for the most part, unless you're just having a really bad game. And so I think Patterson's a legit contender for it. Michigan's not going to try to win 7-3 like they do every other game. And, I mean, obviously, they've always run it up against scrubs, but I think that this year they're going to keep their foot on the pedal as far as that goes against even some of the better teams that maybe Michigan's had some trouble with in the past. I don't know if necessarily they're going to get that top 10 road win that seems to have eluded Hardball, with the exception of one game against Wisconsin. But I think that they are a legitimate contender because of Patterson and this offense.
Yeah, no, I think the, you know, good points for sure. I think what it is with me with the offense, why I'm optimistic, obviously, you know, there's no question with the quarterback position, you feel good about it. You know, they're talking now, it's kind of breaking news, I guess, is Dylan McCaffrey's going to play a lot. I mean, Jim Harbaugh came out and just said it, that he thinks every game they're probably going to play both quarterbacks, which I thought was a shocker. I don't know how factual this is, but it did just come out. And,
well, it's 49-3, you're going to put your backup in. That's just common.
Yeah. Well, I think that, you know, the way I interpreted the article was it almost seemed as if they were going to play them both no matter what. And I thought that, you know, that was a situation where it's validated. I mean, if you watch them at all, and I know spring ball, we've mentioned this so many times, it doesn't matter. But when you watched all three quarterbacks, you seriously sat there, and I made a statement, you could start any one of them. You could start any one of them. And I think it's so close that people don't realize that Dylan McCaffrey in some ways does things better than Shea Patterson. Shea Patterson obviously does things better than McCaffrey, but they're different. McCaffrey, if you look at one of the struggles they've had is even though Shea is super quick, he doesn't have great speed. He's got good speed, but Dylan McCaffrey is a burner. And when he's in the open field, that really stretches the defense out. So I do think they will play him a little more, Tyler. I think it will be, you know, something that they change. And I think with Gattis, he's very open to doing things. I mean, he proved that even in the spring game. I mean, he kind of threw out all the cards and said, this
well,
is us.
Well, let me rescind my dark horse prediction then, because I was working.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I think at this point, with the offense, my worry for the offense is I still think you got to have a running back. I mean, we had a good conversation.
Right.
We were talking pro football and ball and beards. I said that, you know, obviously the running back's not as important, but you still got to have a good running back. I mean, you've seen what Le'Veon Bell's done for Michigan State. You've seen what Ezekiel Elliott did for Ohio State. Both those guys, obviously great NFL players. You've seen what Caron Higdon did for Michigan last year. I think Caron Higdon doesn't get mentioned enough. I mean, he was unbelievable last year.
Right. Absolutely. Couldn't agree more as far as that
and
goes.
And I think that, you know, you fall off a little on that.
No doubt they are, and part of it might be because of the system in place. Ultimately, Higdon looked like a back. Well, he ran very, very well in power sets. He could have run very well in spread sets as well. Sometimes you get that, sometimes you don't. Part of it depends on what you're recruiting. Was Michigan forward thinking enough to get the type of scat back, quick cuts that you need to run that type of offense? And, I mean, ultimately that's something that we're going to see when the season comes. My problem, though, is when you play two quarterbacks, you really have none. And I think that that's a little bit of an issue. If you go back and you look at Michigan State with Kirk Cousins and Keith Nichol, I mean, both guys were very good quarterbacks. Nichol obviously started at Oklahoma and ended up falling behind as a backup. I mean, Cousins, he couldn't get anything going. And then all of a sudden, Cousins took off and was one of the best quarterbacks in college football the second they benched Nichol. And you saw the same thing with Michigan State in 2013. Now, granted, obviously, Maxwell's a lot lower talent, a lot lower caliber talent than what we're talking about with McCaffrey, but Connor Cook couldn't get into a rhythm. And Connor Cook's one of the most prolific passers in Big Ten history. He couldn't get into a rhythm when he split in time. And a lot of it is rhythm with quarterbacks. And so if you're playing two guys, can any of them really get in a rhythm? I mean, yeah, they can be. They both can be good, and you'll probably play the hot hand down the stretch of some games. But that's a bigger issue than I think a lot of people realize.
Yeah, no, that I think you know, it's with Michigan, comparing Michigan, Michigan State. I will say this about Michigan State, though, on the quarterback situation. I think that Rocky having some time does help them. So if it's a situation where Lewerke still
having
is struggling, which I don't think he
helps.
Will. Yeah, the experience definitely helps, and I think that it will put them in a more comfortable position, I guess. I mean, Rocky didn't do anything outstanding, I guess. He did have some good moments, but I think it's very similar. You know, their backup situation isn't a whole lot different than Michigan because Rocky did see a lot of snaps, and he actually got a start. So they might even be ahead of the game for – as far as backups. I think Dylan McCaffrey came in, you know, first game of the year against Notre Dame for a drive. He's had the experience. He's obviously a big-time recruit, and he has all the tools. But again, Michigan State has enough with Rocky, I think. It's just a situation where it's unproven. And I think Michigan is the same, but the talent's probably a little better as far as Michigan backups. But let's jump into Michigan State. You know, I think that you know, obviously, the offense has to get better. We know that. I think it's obvious that the offense should be better. Talk about a couple things where it will be different this year. I know you keep bringing up Naylor. I think Naylor's going to have a breakout season. You know, another receiver. They're very deep at receiver. But yeah, you know, just touch on a couple things why the offense will be different this year.
Well, I mean, I think the biggest thing is you look at the health. I mean, you and I have talked a lot about how terrible the offensive line was, but you look at it, a lot of it's probably based on the continuity. I mean, you had 9 different starting lineups in 12 games. And so I think that obviously that's not going to help the cause any. You were missing Cody White for part of the year. You're missing Darryl Stewart for part of the year. You're missing Naylor for a couple games, and Naylor's obviously slid his way up into the third receiver position, dropped 20 pounds, and so, and you look at how fast he was last year, he's got 20 pounds off of him, he's going to be that much faster this year. I think the health alone is why they're going to be better. I think when you look at the tight end, I mean, even Brian Lewerke, and his completion percentage point dropped 17% after he was hurt. It went from 60 to 43.
Yeah.
And it's like you can't have that. There's no continuity on the offensive line. No continuity with the receivers running routes. Who's throwing them the ball? There's nothing there. And so I think that's going to be the big thing. I think the tight end position is going to be better too. We saw flashes of what Matt Dobson can do. He's got another year under his belt, so he should be ready to go. Plus, Michigan State, again, going back to injuries, they didn't have their number two tight end, Noah Davis, all season. I think Dobson jumped Davis with how he performed in a couple of games last year. Is it going to be enough to be a substantial starter? I don't know, but he's going to catch a lot more balls than Sokol did. I can tell you that much.
Yeah, well, I think we all could agree on that. I mean, anyone that's a diehard Sparty like yourself and anyone that's tied in, I mean, you guys had a rough year when it came to him last year. But I mentioned it to you earlier this week. I mean, I think that's where Michigan is so good, too. I mean, Eubanks has been great. McEwen actually fell off a little last year, and he has to play much better. They have Muhammad from Kansas City, who's now a sophomore. I think it's Mustafa, I think. I'd have to look at the roster, but he was unreal in the spring game as far as size. I was blown away with Michigan at the tight end position. I mean, obviously we're not talking defense today because we know where Michigan State stands on defense. I mean, I think that that's It's so proven. They were great last year. I mean, Kenny Willett, Raekwon Williams.
Pending safeties, they'll be a top three defense in the country. It's not a question.
Yeah, no, I think that there's a lot of things that defense is great. I mean, we've seen so much of this, though. The problem that you always have, because Michigan's had some great defenses, too, in the past, way past with Lloyd Carr. It's really hard when your team's not scoring points. It becomes frustrating. I mean, you look at statistically last year, Michigan State gave up the same amount of points as they scored. You just can't have that. I mean, you got to get that offense rolling. That's why we're talking about it today. I mean, they need to get averaging, you know, mid-20s at least. You know, I would say low-20s at least. You know, you're averaging 18 a game last year. You're not moving the ball. They're statistically, they were just horrible. And it makes your defense so much better when your offense is scoring points. Now you're getting a little confidence. Now you can really get after the quarterback. I mean, Raekwon Williams, I mean, I was raving about him last year. He's just a stud. I mean, Kenny Willekes has turned into a stud. Joe Bocci's been there forever. I mean, Josiah Scott, you know, hopefully he's fully healthy. They're loaded on defense. But to stay with offense, I mean, I just truly believe that, I mean, I had mentioned this to a couple guys, you know, in your guys' groups, because I think there's a lot of talk, and I think a lot of it's good. I mentioned on one of the groups, I said, if this isn't the year, like, no matter what they do, even if it's better, unless it's significantly better on offense, which I have a hard time believing it today, you got to get a coordinator like Michigan did. I think that's the best thing Jim Harbaugh's ever done. And even if Michigan doesn't win this year, I think the best thing he's done is said, you know what, hands off, here you go, I'm giving it to a young guy, a guy who's got experience. Would you agree that Michigan State's got to do the same thing? I mean, unless you go to Indy and you win the Big Ten, then you are validated. You're like, okay, we did the right thing. But if you don't win the Big Ten, I think you got to make that move.
Well, and to an extent, they did. They're giving it to a man who ran a spread at the Division II level. They're giving it to a guy who has been about the spread offense before, whatever. And, I mean, you kind of saw these gradual progressions with D'Antonio throughout. We're having a little trouble. Let's bring in Jim Bowman, who had some input as far as that goes. And it's like, okay, now we're moving the ball a little bit more. And then, oh, we're having a little trouble again. Now you're bringing in – you're not bringing in, rather, but you're moving up a guy who's had experience as an offensive coordinator running the spread. Just because he was on your staff doesn't necessarily mean that he has the same mentality as far as that goes. So you're promoting your quarterback's coach to the offensive coordinator position, a position I have level in the spring game, and tell you all about it. Oh, this helps with working his legs, having spread out field. He can be able to run for 7 yards and fly down a lot more often than he did last year. And obviously, the injury was a part of it. It's really going to help Daryl Stewart, because Daryl Stewart's one of those types of guys who likes to get the ball in space. And when you run a pro set, it's harder to get the ball in space. And I think that this is going to allow him to just have, even though he kind of broke out as a sophomore, this is going to be a monstrous breakout season for Daryl Stewart. And I think it's in part because of the offense that they're going to run. I think it's going to help him a lot more. It's not like you still have Dave Warner calling the same plays, but you have him calling it out of the shotgun instead of the power eye formation or anything like that. You have a brand new system in place. You just have somebody on your staff who's familiar with it, who you could promote instead of bringing in an outsider who's maybe not as familiar with the talent that's at Michigan State, what the guys can do, how they expect to play, because ultimately they do like, obviously every offense likes to score points. If you're not going to score a ton, which is what Michigan State's been known for doing under Dave Warner, even though they do have the most points in a single season under him. If you're not going to score a ton, or if you're going to have issues scoring, you better be able to flip the field and rely on your defense. And that's something that, well, they are looking to score a lot more points. having Jake Hartbarger back is going to be huge in regards to flipping the field and putting it in Raekwon and Kenny and Joe Bocci's hands. And so I think that's just – I think having Brad Salem calling the plays instead of Dave Warner or anybody else who's who had input, like Jim Bowman, I think having that is going to be just a huge upgrade in and of itself. You don't necessarily need to bring in an outsider to have someone who has a different philosophy.
You know, I think some familiarity, you know, there's two sides to this. You know, the familiarity with having the same guys is the players are used to what they want. There's an expectation of how you block, how you run routes. And I do think that is very important. And I think that Michigan State can still have great success because of that. And then the downside, obviously, is you're playing against teams that understand your philosophy, that know what you run. But then you are switching it up a little, like you said. You're kind of running more spread stuff. When you look at 2 years ago, Tyler, I mean, Brian Lewerke was such a threat to run. I mean, over 500 yards rushing. And I think the problem is there's two parts to that as well. Because he's been banged up, you want to maybe minimize the running. But you also know that's a huge threat to that offense. That's why they were so tough. I mean, you go back to the Michigan game 2 years ago. They couldn't stop it. Lewerke was such a threat to run, and it affected the other team. And I think that you got to go back to that a little bit. And then it also goes back to our point with backup quarterbacks. Rocky's a very good runner as well. He's physical. He's a different runner than Lewerke. Mark D'Antonio has mentioned Lewerke's faster this year. I think that's a big, great sign for Spartan fans to feel excited about, because he's a great threat to run. And they need him to run, because at the running back position, it's just not proven yet. I think Hayward and Jefferson
right.
will do well. You have an opinion on another guy. I know you want to talk about it, that you think Jefferson will get pushed off. But they need him to run. They do need Lewerke to run a little bit.
Oh, and absolutely. And now I'll talk about this other guy in a sec. And I think he's going to, like I said, injuries may have slowed him down. And, well, you don't want him getting banged up. That's just an issue of starting to slide. It's not like one of those. He's not a Michael Vick type runner where he's going to juke people. He's going to take hits and he's going to shake them off and that type of thing. Or he's not like RG3 was. He's just fast. And so if you can get him, you know, step up in the pocket, oh, the middle's wide open because we spread the field out, and he can run it up 5 yards and then slide, which I think was something that he talked about last year doing, and then obviously we saw him stop running because he was getting blown out because of how bad the makeshift offensive line was. Tyler Higbee at center was a disaster. You know, you look at those types of situations, and so I think we're going to see that. But with both running backs for Michigan State, in regards to the returners that people are familiar with, Connor Haywood with Darius Jefferson, they have trouble blocking. That's evident. I think Hayward has best hands on the field. Kicking him out to a receiver position may not be the worst thing either. He's a smart football player. He's just not good at picking up his blocking assignments. I think Jefferson has issues hitting the hole. He's a converted quarterback, and he's not having a converted quarterback having an issue blocking. That's not really the most shocking thing in the world either. Look out for which reminds me, Connor Haywood was also a converted quarterback. Look out
right.
for Ant Williams. Anthony Williams, he's not going to be the fastest guy on the field, but he's a little shiftier. And when you get those shiftier guys who can make a catch and then jump a guy in space, that's the type of thing that's beneficial to spread offenses, which, like I said, Michigan State is transferring over to, even though they're bringing in an inside guy. He's got the ability to make those quick cuts. He runs forward. And to find that rare combination, I'd liken him. I'm not saying he's going to be this good. I'm not saying he's going to be Michigan State's yards from scrimmage leader by the time it's all said and done. I'd liken him to Javon Ringer as a freshman.
That's
powerful,
a big shout out, yeah.
Not as powerful and not going to be, you know, a dope walker candidate by the time it's all said and done. I don't think he has that in him, but he's got enough to bump with Darius Jefferson as long as he can pick up the blocking assignments and he can make plays in space. He's a one-cut type guy. he's the type of player that benefits this offense. And if you have two guys like Jefferson and Hayward, who even though like Jefferson isn't necessarily a bulldozer, he does like to run inside a little bit more, or he does that well. I think having Williams be able to cut it outside once you get to the second level, I think it's going to be a huge addition for Michigan State this year. And I think you're going to see him early in the Tulsa game.
No, I think the good thing and the bad thing for Michigan State's schedule, here's the good thing. I think that you start off and you can get a little bit of confidence rolling with that offense, and you can play someone like Ant Williams. You can get multiple running backs getting a little confidence. You know, you can get Lewerke back on track. I mean, those first three games are should be sure wins. Obviously, Arizona State, as far as talent, will be kind of difficult, but they definitely don't have the stud anymore, receiver, which is very good news for anyone playing
right.
them. But last
right.
year was just a weird, fluky game. They should have won.
By the way, best receiver, Nikhil Harry, sleeper pick in fantasy football this year. You guys mark it down.
Yeah, he's got quite the quarterback. He's got quite the system. I mean, when you're playing for the Patriots, and you know, you're going to have a breakout year. But no, Arizona State will not be the same. Yeah, and I think
right.
that, you know, that was a fluky game last year. I mean, offensively, they were just bad, and they should have won that game last year. But like I said, the good thing is those three games, you get some confidence. The bad thing is what we've been talking about a lot this offseason. It's just a really, really tough schedule. And that doesn't mean they can't win, though. I mean, the good thing about Michigan State
right.
is they have the talent to still win those games. The problem is just the order of it. I mean, when you're playing a physical team, an athletic, talented team, 3 weeks in a row, and mind you, you know, you go to Northwestern, your first road game, that's not going to be a cakewalk, and it's not been a fun game for Michigan State recently. But you look
right.
at those three, the Penn State, Wisconsin, Ohio State, those three in a row, those are tough games. I mean, I guess the good thing, Tyler, for scheduling is at least they get a bye. They get a bye after that because it's just a tough schedule. I mean, I think James Franklin said, I know you're a huge fan of him. He made a good point today, though, in the media days. He said, I mean, with nine games in the conference, it's almost impossible to win every one. I mean, if you do, it's unreal. I mean, it's such a tough conference. And if you can find a way to win two out of those three games in a row for Michigan State, now you're talking about, hey, Indy is very realistic. But the problem
absolutely.
is that darn Northwestern game to start off with. I think Michigan will run into the same problem. As much as you're low on Wisconsin, your first road game is always a bear, and both schools have two really tough road games to start the conference slate. And you get a Jonathan
Taylor. The thing with the Northwestern game is I think that's perfect coming off the schedule that Michigan State does. Look, Michigan State should beat Tulsa. They should beat Arizona State. Should beat Western Michigan. They obviously not in that order. I think Western Michigan's second game. But they should win all three of those games. Then you go to Northwestern. You're not exact. Well, I think that they've presented trouble for Michigan State over the last 3 years. You're not exactly playing in front of 110,000 plus crowds like you would in Columbus or Ann Arbor. You're not playing in front of, you know, people jumping around like you would in Madison. You're not playing at State College. I've been to Northwestern, and granted they weren't, you know, as good as they've been over the last two seasons, which I mean, they're my pick in the West right now, if we're being brutally honest. They're not that good. They weren't as good as they have been as of the last two seasons. But Northwestern Stadium, as far as the college, as far as the Division I major college football stadium goes, as far as the fan support that comes with going to what is predominantly an academic university, not necessarily a sports one, as far as where the money comes from, a stadium sucks. If we're being brutally honest. And so I think it's the perfect warm-up.
It's a rough go out there.
I think it's the perfect warm. They've updated their video board, and it's still complete garbage. I think it's the perfect build-up for a Big Ten road game, and it's more or less a glorified practice based upon the fan support.
No doubt. No, I think you do have a great point there. I think that that's probably why the Michigan start is more difficult. You know, you go to Madison and, you know, also you're playing a team who's going to be a little edgy. You know, you beat up on them a little bit last year. So there's going to be that tough road game for Michigan. I mean, both teams' schedule is just really
tough. And don't forget the running
game really
for Wisconsin, too. That's going to vary. Like I said, the defensive line for Michigan, not as good as it was last year. And so, I mean, you might see some running room open up for Jonathan Taylor right there.
No, I think you're absolutely right. I think you made a statement earlier. I think that game is going to be a trap game for Michigan right off the get. And I do see them. It's 50-50 for me. I can see them losing that football game. And it does one or two things. It either strengthens you like it did last year. You know, Notre Dame, they played terrible. And, you know, they got beat. And I think it did strengthen them in ways. But they had a hard beginning of the season last year. Michigan did. And I think that you go to Wisconsin, third game of the year, after playing two opponents just not very good, you know, it's going to be hard for them. And I think that's the one game, if you really want to look at a game and say, okay, that's going to be the game that Michigan, if they win it, and they win it in convincing fashion too, I think they really have to go out there and they have to play really well. They got to score some points. They got to find a way to stop that running game. You know, you win by a few touchdowns, you feel real confident in your first road game. That will mean a lot for Michigan this year. But, yeah, I mean, this
right.
schedule, I mean, I posted on Facebook, Tyler, this is the best conference top to bottom in the Big Ten. I mean, you're looking at all these games, and I'm sorry, but Michigan's had a hell of a time playing Indiana, and they got to go on the road to Indiana before Ohio State, which has not been fun for them. They've had a lot of problems. They got Iowa at home, is going to be really, really good. You know, obviously Michigan,
Iowa's
Ohio,
the favorite
Michigan State,
in the West,
Ohio State,
I believe, right now.
Yeah, and you know, you don't get in Nebraska, which is, could be, I guess, good, but you still got Notre Dame at home. I mean, this is a tough schedule for Michigan State and Michigan. You know, I really believe that I have a hard time. You know, they had a great comment, Tyler, and I know you'll love this because this is my opinion. They keep asking the coaches, why hasn't there been a Big Ten team in the college football playoff? Well, look who they play all year. I mean, they're beating each other up every year, and it's really hard to get through that whole season unscathed. I mean, it's damn near impossible.
Oh, absolutely. And you see, you know, oh my God, you see a very, very jacked up situation in the Big Ten East. There could be a three-way tie and you're jumping into tiebreakers and like, oh, well, that was a fluke game. Or, oh, this team lost to that team. And you're just looking at a mess in the Big Ten East if, let's say, Michigan State comes out and beats Michigan. Well, Michigan turns around and beats Ohio State. And, you know, Michigan State drops a bomb against Wisconsin or Northwestern or something like that. I mean, obviously, or let's say Penn State, just for the sake of keeping the conversation in the division, keeping things interesting. Then all of a sudden,
yeah,
you're looking at a three-way tie. Michigan State can turn around and lose to Penn State if they beat Michigan and Ohio State. And then, you know, then it's just a disaster.
No, it is. I mean, one loss for sure wins the conference. I mean, one loss is I don't see a team.
Right, but you could also,
you know,
have
Ohio
three
State
teams
with their
with
talent.
One loss. If Ohio State,
sure,
if Ohio
well,
State
in,
beats
in
Michigan
two.
State, Michigan State. If Ohio State beats Michigan State, Michigan State beats Michigan, Michigan beats Ohio State, that's a nightmare scenario for, yeah, more or less. And then you start questioning, well, whoever goes to the Big Ten based upon whatever the tiebreak is after that, whoever goes to the Big Ten championship, if they win, does one of the two teams that get shafted, I mean, do they have a legitimate case for the college football playoff? Let's say it's Michigan State. Michigan State only lost to Ohio State, and they lost to them by 1 point. Michigan State have a case for the playoff at that point, sitting at 11-1, and their only loss is the number one team or number three team in the country or whatever it's going to end up being?
Yeah. No, I think another thing is – you know how high I was on Notre Dame last year, and I got kicked in the teeth because And obviously Clemson was unbelievable. I mean, I think anybody that played Clemson in that Final Four last year is probably going to get smashed, but you know, they were just playing on a level that was unprecedented.
Well, it makes Notre Dame feel better. They should have lost to Clemson in the regular season, but they're a bunch of chumps, and they don't want to join the conference, so they're fat.
I was hoping for something along those lines. Well, I guess my point is this. Ohio State at the end of the year was a better football team than Notre Dame. I mean, there was no question. There was no argument there. They had a better quarterback.
No.
They had more talent. They had more speed.
Ohio
State
beat Michigan by more than Notre Dame did. Ohio State beat Northwestern by more than Notre Dame did. Ohio State won a conference,
yeah,
which Notre Dame didn't. Three reasons right there Ohio,
yeah,
State should have been in.
No, I think you're absolutely right. I mean, my stance on Notre Dame, you know, that schedule is hit or miss. I mean, now you go to Georgia this year for Notre Dame and at Michigan. I mean, are those two games that better than anything else in a conference? Probably not. I mean, I guess my opinions have changed because they're going to have to make that move, Tyler. I mean, we'll get into this on another day, you know, where Notre Dame has to make that decision because this is what it is. When you look at college football today, when you watch the Big Ten, if you watch a game every week, you're always a little nervous that what could happen. You could drop the ball and lay an egg, and you're going to lose a bad football game. I mean, last year, Nebraska started coming on. They're going to be good this year. Iowa's good. Penn State's always recruits
State
great.
Michigan State in 2010, you know, losing to Iowa. That was,
yeah. But that was a great Iowa football team. I mean, Michigan State goes into that game 8-0, looking unbeatable. Iowa's up 30-0 at halftime, but that was a good Iowa football team. It wasn't like they were playing a bunch of scrubs, and that's my point where you are 100% right and I was wrong, where Notre Dame does not get a pass when Michigan State, Michigan, Ohio State, Penn State, Wisconsin, all those teams have to play each other. I mean, come on. And I think it's gotten to the point where you look at Ohio State as just a football team last year. They were better with one loss than Notre Dame. I mean, it was right in front of our faces. We've seen it. They had one bad game. But guess what? Yeah, when you have a conference like the Big Ten, you are very, you know, vulnerable to having that one game like they did against Purdue. And by the way, Purdue is not a slouch. I mean, and that's what it is. It comes
and
down
Rondale
to
Moore's,
Notre
Rondale Moore is the best player in the conference already. So
he is. It's not even for debate at this point. I mean, it's just such a good conference. It's such a tough conference, top to bottom. I know I'm going to get all these Southern guys going after me because I said it was the best conference top to bottom. I made sure I said, read the top to bottom. Please read
top
the
to bottom,
top to bottom.
The SEC West get over it.
Yeah, and you know, you put Kentucky in the Big Ten. They're not even mentioned. I mean, they're not winning that conference, either one of them. They're not good enough. And they had a very good season
at this point.
Anyway, well, slow down.
I had to.
But Calipari's not coaching football, so if he's coaching football, they'd probably win the conference. But anyway,
absolutely. I mean, you see all these college football players, you know, getting paid. And, oh, sorry. Off topic.
No, it's going to be – I can't wait. I mean, I'm excited for the season. But like I said, I mean, you listen to these coaches the last few days, and there's just – obviously, every coach thinks they're great before the season starts. We're going to see a lot of things happen. But when you really listen to all the coaches and you really looked at every team in that conference, not named Rutgers or Illinois, you know, but even Maryland's better now. I mean, Maryland gave Ohio State all they could handle last year. And that's the nature of this conference. If you go on the road and you're playing against a Maryland, Indiana, you better play well. Because if you don't, you're going to lose. If you go to Lincoln, where there's a very, you know, rowdy crowd, and, you know, you've already seen it. You've seen it a couple years ago. I know it's a bad reminder, but
let's just clear the air here. Dude stepped out of bounds, all right? You can't run out of bounds and then run back in bounds. That's not a freaking catch. They busted Michigan State.
We should
on
do
that
a game with
later.
Past games. That would be so Michigan of me to do. It would be so Michigan of me to talk about past games. We should do a segment just on past games and just terrible officiating. And
2013,
and
Michigan State robbed of a championship 3 weeks into the season.
Oh, yeah, that's one that we will always want to talk about. You know, the Michigan, the spot Ohio State, that will go back and forth forever. You know, was he cross? Was he not? Oh, my gosh, that will be a conversation that every Michigan fan will have to cry about forever.
Over the red
but,
line.
But my point on that one, my point on that one is you let a guy run on a third and long about 100 yards to get almost a first down. Where were you at in the tackling? So, I mean, it came down to that, really. But like I said, you know, again, the conference is great. Football's here. I mean, obviously the summer is always like, ugh, I don't want to talk about baseball, but now we're heading into college football where the passion is alive and well. We'll get into some Lions, and I know you're so excited. I know I'm excited. Talk about some Lions maybe next week, Tyler, and talk about a schedule that's not fun. Their schedule looks
being
terrible.
Hurt again.
I'm getting sick and tired of my feelings being hurt every year. You know, the post you've had with the Lion with his paw covering his face, I had to share that. I thought that was great. That was basically how I feel about Lions football. But there's just something good about joining in on the misery with your friends. Isn't it weird being a Lions? Like, you know, I've never been a huge diehard Lions. I want them to win because I'm from Michigan. But it's kind of fun joining in the misery. Like, oh, if you ever want to watch a football game and hear negative comments and just laugh, just go to, you know, a local tavern, hang out with your friends that are Lions fans. You will hear the worst things you've ever heard in your life.
Just come to my house on Sunday afternoon.
Oh, I think that, you know, hey, you know how good luck I am. So if I come over, the Lions may win. I'm 1-0. At Tyler's Man Cave, I am 1-0 for Tyler. Barty beating Duke. I got a pass to come over. Yeah, I got a pass at Tyler's Man Cave. But I'm excited, Tyler, man. I can't wait to keep talking. Obviously,
let me ruin the Lions for you already. The one win where there was not an injured quarterback or star player, which made the defensive scheming so much easier for the Detroit Lions. The one win was Arizona. Ryan Tannehill was out. Julian Edelman was out, so they could double-team Gronk all day. Or Gronk was out and they double-team Edelman, one of the two. I can't even really remember at this point. Ryan Tannehill was out for Miami. Aaron Rodgers was hurt for both games against Green Bay. The Detroit Lions did not deserve a single win last year outside of Arizona.
Wow, those are deep comments. That is speaking like a true Lions fan. But guess what? If all the quarterbacks get hurt, we might be able to make the damn playoffs this year. So, you know, we don't want to pray for that, but hey, that's, you know,
that's
what can happen. Whatever, never make. Well, I'm excited about the first week because I think we get to see Kyler Murray and we get to see how for real he's going to be right away.
Oh,
so,
good. So
week
one win that we deserve to win, they're actually going to have a quarterback this year.
Yeah, they will have a quarterback who's pretty good. Who's a pretty good quarterback. Well, thanks, Ty, man. I'm excited, man. Football's close, man. A month away. Training camp starts NFL, I believe, next week, which is crazy. And then college football, you know, all the preseason talk will continue. We're going to keep dropping some fire. We'll talk next week, Michigan, Michigan State again, and then we'll talk some Lions. So, again, Ty, thanks, man, for dropping in real quick. I know we haven't had a lot of time to do shows, but we're back on football season. We get a little overexcited and a little angry too.
Let's go!
Wait a minute. Tom Brady's your favorite quarterback? I knew it. But yes, we're getting ready, man. Football season. Football season's here, man. Excited. Ty, again, thanks, buddy. We'll be on soon. This is Rivalry Radio, where every rivalry matters, but none more than one, Michigan State and Michigan. We'll talk next week. Lions football. Can they win a game against a healthy quarterback? We will talk about it.
Can they win a game
reason
against
for
a team
optimism
that wins over 500?
No, you know, maybe. But this is the best time of year for a Lions fan. 0-0. I can't wait. So, again, thanks for tuning in. We'll be sharing this on our page, Rivalry Radio. Want to get some people on the show. Yeah, we want to get on the show here. Some new guys. You know, we had Greg Jones last year. We've had Mateen Cleaves.
Who?
Tyler always has the Spartans. We will not have any Michigan players, obviously. They're too stuck up to join our show. But it's okay. We don't need them. We don't need them. I might be able to get Sean Higgins, though, Tyler, on our show because
okay.
He's actually been conversating, a former Michigan NCAA champion who, you know, is running a program. So we might get our first frickin' Michigan player. That'd be kind of weird, you know. We'll see.
That's
if the Wolverines.
You got the ties with them. I got the ties in East Lansing, so.
I don't think I have the ties to Michigan at all, to be honest. I don't think anyone does.
You've got a few more than me. Let's just put it like that.
Yeah, I think I got one more than you. Sean Higgins, and that's pretty much it. But no, it's fun, man. We should talk some hoops probably soon about Michigan State. Obviously, Moneyball's been cool. They're going to be unreal, loaded this year. Poor Juwan Howard, boy, he's regretting that decision right away, joining this conference, playing against those guys next door. So, again, thanks, Ty, man. Have fun this weekend. Be safe. We're going to get on it, man. I cannot wait to do Rivalry Radio again all year. I'm excited. You know how the summer gets. Boring as all get out. But we're back, baby. We are back.